Reed, so come on and stand to your feet. Get your exercise in before you go out and Exodus. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Verse 7. Exodus chapter 3. I'm reading from the King James Version. Take your electronic instrument and scroll over to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Look at verse 7. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Here you'll find these words. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I came down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, out of that land, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Highlight verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then go to chapter 4, same book. I need you to bear with me just for a minute. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but I, behold. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his own flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not believe me, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. I want you to highlight verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, listen to what Moses said, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, sin, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Highlight verse 14 and we're done. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take his rod in thy hand, and wherewith thou shalt do signs. Verse 10, I like that in verse 14. Verse 10, one more time. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and I'm a slow tongue. Before you have your seat, I want to preach from this thought. Stop making excuses for not serving God.
Amen.
Y'all sit on down.
Amen.
Won't you say that with me again? Stop making excuses for not serving God. Amen. Tell someone on your right, stop making excuses for not serving God. Somebody on your other side, tell them, amen. Wake them up, amen. Stop making excuses for not serving God. Usher, we thank you, Sister Perry and Brother Adams. Everyone should have an order of service with them. There's a note section in there. Going to take notes as we go. We want to salute our ushers again. We thank God for their service. Amen. Let's give them a hand. We thank God for each and every one of them. We don't know how important the usher is, but the usher plays an important part in the worship experience. I wouldn't go anywhere, and as soon as I enter the business and people look like they had drank lemon juice. Amen. Look like a prune that had drawn all up. Amen. One of the things they teach you about customer service is to have a smile on your face. And I dare say that none of us go to places that you are not welcome in. You want to feel welcome wherever you go. So we thank God for our ushers. Amen. And we thank God for giving us life.
Amen.
God said, Deacon Bailey, give us life.
Way to go, Deacon.
So thank God for our ushers and thank God for our greeters.
Amen.
A few weeks ago in Antioch, Tennessee, you recall that a man went into the church house and started shooting people. And it was the usher that confronted him. The usher did not have a gun, but the usher confronted a man who came into God's house, God's sanctuary, and started shooting at the saints. It was the usher that confronted him, and the man pistol whipped the usher. And I believe he even shot the usher. And the usher went out to his car and got his gun. That's where you got to be careful what you say to ushers. If you notice the last 2 weeks, I've just been smiling at the ushers. Can I get y'all anything? Y'all need a soda, some water, anything y'all need, I get it for you. I've been careful what I also say to them because you never know what they may be packing. Amen. I'm told that every usher carries something other than their Bible. Amen. So you don't want to find out. We'll talk about the blessings of God, the privilege of serving God, excuses for not serving God, and serving God until I die. Isn't God good today?
Amen.
Hasn't God been good to you all of your life? Isn't God blessing you right now? Regardless of how you feel and what you're going through, you're thankful for God being God.
Amen.
All by himself. Amen. Listen to me. Somebody ought to shout right here. You may not have everything that you need. Wish I had a praying church right here. But God has given you everything that you wanted. Amen. Let me say that a different way, the correct way. You may not have everything that you want. Excuse me, but God has given you everything. Somebody ought to be shouting to God right there. Watch this. Everything that you want is not good for you. But everything you need is good and profitable for you. So, in your notes, let me give you this pop quiz. Four quick questions. Are you saved? I don't need a response. That's a personal question today. Are you saved? And I'll say this, if you're not saved, you're in the right place at the right time on today. Second question, has God blessed you?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Should be a response on that one.
Amen.
Has God blessed you?
Yeah.
Third, how are you serving God today?
Amen.
That's a real first question. If God has blessed you, the next question is, how are you serving God? Not that you're serving God to get something in return, but because God has been so good, you ought to be doing something for Him now that He's blessed you real good. Fourth and final question, what do you do in your church? Amen. Even if you're not a member here in New St. Matthew, what do you do in your church?
All right.
Did you flunk or pass that short quiz? Let me say this. If you did not get all those questions right, something is wrong. But again, I say to you today, you are in the right place at the right time. Listen to me. My testimony is everything I have and everything that I hope to be and where I'm at right now in life is as a result of the blessings of God. It would be foolish of me to stand here and say, I did everything by myself. But you know how we get once God blesses us and get us to where we got no business being. We'll have to say, I did it all by myself. But I stand and shout today that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I wish I had somebody that would help me with that right there. I wish I had somebody that didn't worry about who was looking at you and what someone's going to put on Facebook. If you praise God right where you are, I guarantee you, He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out of heaven. You won't have to see. If there anybody who doesn't mind going back down memory road with me and remember where you used to be, the things you used to say, the things you used to do, and when you was in the muck and mire, it was nobody. Who doesn't mind singing far by stretch? My hand to thee. Nobody but you, Lord. Somebody ought to strike out every now and then. Lord, have mercy on me. A sinner. Watch this. God still blesses us even in our mess. Come on, somebody. Put your hand somebody who's never been in a mess. I'm talking about a choked up mess. Been in some choked up trouble. You know how. Know how you gonna get out of your trouble. But God has a way of showing up in the nick of time when you couldn't help yourself. God will show up and God will show out. God still blesses us in our mess. Am I right about it?
Yes,
even when you and I had did wrong. Y'all quiet, okay, all right. I got my hand up. I know I've done wrong after 50 years. At some point in my life, I know I've done wrong. It's not that I've been so good. It's just that God has been so merciful to me. Despite our cussing. Come on, somebody. Despite our stealing. Even when we didn't pay him, we tipped him. And even the tip wasn't 15 or 18 or 20%. It was 2% or 1%. In fact, baby, it was just a plain old dollar. Everybody here know you're not much you can do with a dollar anymore. Even when we were high and or drunk, God still shows up and blesses us. Even when we don't deserve His blessing, He still blesses us anyhow. Where am I? He answers prayer right now, prayer warriors. Anybody know that He'll answer prayer before you finish your prayer? Again, I say, hasn't God been good to all of us? And hasn't He blessed us over and over and over again? Where are my new car saints? Anybody in here who don't mind testifying that God put me in the car when my credit was all jacked up? Where are my new house saints? There was nobody but God. So God, I'm praying now that you may not be living where you want to, but you wasn't outside on last night. Where are my God got me out of trouble right now with this? Is there anyone in here who can testify, not only did God rescue me, but the Lord healed me? Somebody ought to testify right there. I'm going to say that one again and see if somebody knows what I'm talking about. Has God ever just delivered you from whatever you were going through. And watch this, we all going through something.
Yeah.
But thanks be to God that when I'm going through something, I can go to him in prayer. And before I finish the prayer, he'll heal me. It's the difference between getting healed, getting well, but God will heal you and deliver you from whatever you're dealing with. And today you can shout, I'm not on probation. I'm not on parole. You can shout, I'm not on pretrial release. You can shout, I'm not on bond. But I have been pardoned by the blood of Jesus. He has set me free. He's thrown all of my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He paid my ransom, and I don't owe him anything but the praise. You know, I hope before I transition, we learn how to praise God while we got the chance. I hope we finally learn to praise God regardless of what someone sitting next to us is doing. You see, my praise is not dependent upon what you do. I'm going to praise God anyway. He's never done anything for you. When I look back over 50 years of my life, God has brought me from a mighty long way. I wish I had somebody to help me with that. Can anyone testify of what God has done in your life? And I have brought you from a mighty long way. Is there anybody who's thankful to God for what you have right now? Other than sit on the pew, criticize the church, criticize church members, and talk about the preacher over in the corner. Here's a teaching point for all of us. Once you get saved, then you should be serving God in some capacity, and you should be active in God's church. I keep on trying to tell us when it comes to serving God and being a saint, there's no such thing as sitting on the pew. This is what the church should be doing. The church ought to do this. And we never see you, and you don't pay nothing into the church. Amen, somebody. You mean to tell me there's nothing you can do in God's church to serve him? You mean to tell me that you can't do anything to serve God despite how God has been good to you all the days of your life? You mean to tell me you can't rake the yard at the church? You can't pick up paper rather than step over the paper at the church? You mean to tell me you can't sweep up at God's house? It's for God. It's not for the preacher. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll stop trying to satisfy people. You keep on trying to satisfy somebody. But the longest day I live, I'm going to live to satisfy Jesus. I'm going to live to please God. Watch this. Why, preacher? Because man don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. Amen, somebody. You know, I would be ashamed of myself to look back over my life and see how God has blessed me. Because I really got no business being here. Somebody should have said amen on that. If you look in the mirror, you ought to say to yourself and come to the realization, you really should be here.
Yeah.
Where are my people that used to hang out in the streets? I think I got about almost 100 people in here, but 20 people put their hand out. Somebody should have stood on their feet. Watch this. I may get you right here. And shooting took place. But God still brought you home safe. Let me meddle for a little while. Can mama say, you better leave that man alone?
All right.
Mama, I'm in love. Thank you. When mama said, I can do bad all by myself. I don't need anybody to bring me down. So the women, they stood up there, so men, this turnabout is fair play. When mama said, leave that gold digger alone. But when I look back over my life, I think the young people said like this, can we just keep it 100? It's personal now. When I look at my life, this is my testimony now. When I look at my life, nobody but the Lord.
Come on.
Nobody but the Lord. Nothing I've done.
Yes, sir.
Nothing I'm smart, but God has been so good to me.
Yes,
and I shout today that it was nobody but the Lord that brought me from a mighty long way. And I'd be ashamed to not give God some praise. I'd be ashamed of myself to not serve God when I look at all he's done in my life. One of the things I realize about the blessing of God, it ain't your car. It ain't your house. It ain't your hair. It ain't your money. It ain't your black green team. Nobody but God. Go to the book of Malachi. I wish I had a Bible scholar in here. Prove me now and see. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive. If it's dirty, get up on Sunday. I ain't going to church today. It wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't be here. Where are my Bible scholars? After Isaiah had been cleaned up by God, the question went forward. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah recognized that God had been so good to him. And he said, here am I. Send me and I'll go. It was Isaiah's way of saying, I'm going to serve God because he's been too good to me for me to sit down and do nothing for him. So today we thank God for us that regardless of what they're going through and how they feel, they still love coming and serving in God's house.
Amen.
One of the things that a pastor should always appreciate are those ministries in the church that make his job easier.
Amen.
A pastor should have a heart for God's people.
Amen.
He should have a desire to take the church higher.
Amen.
And he should always praise those saints who are always with him and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Second teaching point, when it comes to serving God, people, especially Christians, will make all types of excuses for not serving God. I gotta work. But watch this. God is the one that gave you the job and gave you life, health, and strength. I'm tired. But God has given you a place to rest and lay down. I don't have a ride, but you walk to the club. I don't have any money, but you don't need any money to serve God, baby. I don't have anything to wear, but you don't have to get dressed up to come meet Jesus. It's too late, but when you wanted to meet that man or woman across town, you walked across town to get to where you wanted to be. Y'all got quiet on that, but I know it's right, but I know it's right. I got tickets to the 1 o'clock game. You better make sure you have tickets to heaven. What am I saying today? If you are saved, then you need to stop making excuses for not serving God and start serving God today. I saw this on a good friend of mine's card, this tag. Don't wait for the hearse in order for you to get to the church house. Here in this text, we're in the second book of the Pentateuch, the Torah, the book of Moses, the book of the law. And here, we're in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. The book of Exodus means going out. X out. Hold us the way or the departure. Genesis is the book of origins, but Exodus is the book of redemption. The book of Exodus discusses and outlines the oppression of the Israelites, God's chosen people. The book of Exodus describes how the Israelites, the church, were delivered out of Egyptian bondage and how this new nation, the church, is endowed with law, priesthood, and sacrificial system providing for the worship and regulation of a redeemed people. The book of Exodus deals with the great event of the redemption of Israel from Egypt. Here by definition, we see the unofficial church, the ecclesia, for we see the assembly of the saints. Those, you and I, who have been called out of the world, and we should not be acting like the world if we say we have been born again. Here we see that God needed someone to lead his people out of Egypt land. Here God wanted Moses, the preacher, to go tell Pharaoh to let his people, the church, go. Moses' name by definition meant drawn out of the water. God had been good to Moses. Do I have a witness in here? For God had blessed Moses real good, for it was God that had spared Moses from being killed down in Egypt when Pharaoh ordered all the Hebrew children to be, male children to be killed. It was God who told Moses' mother, Jochebed, to place Moses in an ark and place him in the water. And it was Moses' sister Miriam who watched as Pharaoh's daughter found Moses in the ark and had her servant Miriam take the child to a wet nurse or to a mother to nurse him. Doesn't God have a way of making everything all right? Anybody know why you're trying to figure it out? God has already worked that thing out. Doesn't God show up in your midnight hour and make everything all right regardless of what you're going through? I don't know about you, but I have learned that regardless of what I'm going through, I know that God is still in control. We can make endure for a night, but I know that joy is coming in the moment. Doesn't God work in mysterious ways? And God blessed Moses again, for it was Moses who saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And Moses killed the Egyptian for how he treated Moses' race of people. And Moses fled Egypt. By law, Moses was a murderer, and Moses was a fugitive from the law. Now the roles are reversed, and here we see God is seeking a favor, and God is talking to Moses about leading his own people out of bondage from Egypt. In chapter 3, verse 7 and 9, God told Moses that he had seen the affliction of his people, the Israelites, down in Egypt, and had heard their cry. And when we look in chapter 4, God has given Moses instructions for how he wants Moses to go lead his people out of bondage down in Egypt land. But in verse 10, I want us to notice your and my response to God when it comes to serving for him. For Moses said, just like all of us, look at the text. Oh my Lord, underline this, I'm not eloquent. Listen, when it comes to God, it doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter about prefixes and suffixes in your name. God is looking for somebody to serve him in spirit and in truth. Amen. God wants someone with a whole heart who sold out for him.
Yeah.
Just like when we ran the streets, we ought to be running for God right now.
Amen.
Look at the text. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Look at what Moses says here. But I am slow to speak. That's another excuse.
Amen.
And of a what? Slow tongue. It doesn't matter how you talk when you're speaking for God, as long as your words can communicate with the crowd or communicate to the audience you're talking to. Listen, it doesn't matter if I say feet and foots. I knew I had a room full of English majors in here. This was Moses' way of saying he was in SLD, slow learning disability class. This was Moses' way of saying he was in the boom boom. I can tell by your amen when you were born. Maybe y'all will at least get this one. It was Moses' way of saying he rode the short yellow bus to school. Simply put, it was Moses' way of making excuses for not wanting to serve God, but going to lead his people out of bondage there in Egypt. Learn this from this message today. Not only does God get tired of our complaining, but God, he also gets tired of our excuses for not serving him. I wouldn't serve the world and not serve God. Anybody ever been in some trouble?
Amen.
Don't worry about who's looking at you. It's personal now.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a tight? I'm talking about a shoulder tight. Where you didn't have any money. You didn't know how your rent was going to get paid. You didn't. You were sick. You got a bad doctor's report.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm just asking a question because I'm wondering, are there any real prayer warriors in the house today? Somebody who doesn't mind testifying that when I was in trouble, I prayed to God. And it was God who turned my situation around. Yeah. I got one person right there. Let me ask a question. Is there somebody in here who doesn't mind testifying that you was in some show enough trouble and you didn't know how you was going to get out of the mess you was in and friends had gotten you? But in the midnight hour, I know I can go into my secret prayer closet and call on God.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I serve a God that doesn't use a caller ID when he sees my name. I'm glad that I serve a God that neither slumber nor sleep. I'm glad I serve a God that when I'm in trouble, he'll come to my rescue and see about me. Notice verse 14 of the text, on my way to my seat, where the Bible teaches us, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
Yes.
On my way to my seat, let me ask you this. Do you want God to be upset with you? If you really believe God, if God has really been the head of your life like you proclaim he is, look at the text then. Doesn't it say right there? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You worried about Shantae being upset with you. Shantae, baby, can't do nothing for you. You worried about LeBron not calling. You don't need LeBron to call you. You better not let the Lord get upset with you. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You see it in the text? Moses finally stopped making excuses for not serving God. And Moses went down to Egypt along with Aaron, his brother, and told Pharaoh, let my people go. It's sad when we will not listen to the voice of God. Do I have any witnesses in here? But Pharaoh wouldn't listen. But God has a way of getting our attention after a while. And after a while and by, if you read the text, after some frogs, and after some bloody water, after some lice, and after some flies, and after some dead cattle, and after some boils and blames, and after some locusts, can I metaphor a little while and make it relevant to what we're dealing with when we don't listen to God? Sometimes God, baby, has got to put you in the unemployment line to get you back in the church. Sometimes God has got to repossess your car for you to go down on bending knees. Sometimes God has got to jack up your credit so you can go stay with somebody else because you don't have credit enough to get your own place. And after some county jail or state prison time, God will finally get your attention when you continue to make excuses for not serving him. Why don't you do what God told you to do? Moses, the usher, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. But those church folk, you know how we can get. Started talking about Moses, but Moses kept on ushering. Anybody know God is all right? Down at the Red Sea. Yeah, those church folk cussed Moses out. But Moses kept on serving for the Lord. I say again, ain't God all right? In the wilderness, Moses kept on serving for the Lord. And those church folk talked about him like a dog. Yeah, over in the corner. Why don't you leave us alone? We were doing all right where we were. Egypt ain't so bad after all. This is the way we've always done it. I know you get tired of serving sometimes. I know, Saint, you get tired of people not doing anything in the church. But sometimes you got to go on in Jesus' name. Sometimes you got to suffer for the Lord. Had a seminary professor tell me one time, he said, the preaching ministry is a suffering ministry. Sometimes you just got to go on by yourself. They used to sing, if nobody else will go, I'll go all by myself. I know you get tired of serving, but your and my service is for the Lord, it's not for man. Why are you still serving, Moses? I just believe Moses said, I'm going to serve God. Yeah, until I die. Grandma said it like this, I reckon I'll run on. Yeah, and see what the end is going to be. Can I get a witness in here? Moses died at the age of 120 years old. Yeah, God preached his eulogy, and God buried Moses in the ravines of Moab, over by Beth Peor. Is there anyone in here who loves the Lord and have made up your mind, I'm going to serve God? Yeah, until I die. He brought me from a mighty long way. Can anyone say, for God I live, and for God I die? Yeah, he's been too good for me. It's sit down in the church and not give him some praise. Yeah, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Yeah, he's worthy. Anybody know he's worthy? Is God worthy to be praised? Has he brought you from a mighty long way? Yeah, when you couldn't clean yourself off, did God clean you off? When death was all around your home, did God make death behave? I shout today for what God has done in my life. Did God bring you when you couldn't bring yourself? When nothing else could help? Wasn't love that lifted you? Jesus said, and I,